If you turn with me this morning, if you have your Bible or your electronic Bible, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke 22, verse 42. Now, this scripture is often read during Easter time, and we're moving to that season or that time. It's not to celebrate a pagan holiday, but it is to remember that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, and that he died on the cross of Calvary. He didn't stay there, of course. That's why we celebrate it. And the fact is, there is an empty tomb as a witness of the fact of his resurrection. I'm always thankful for the positive end results to our problems that we have in life. When things go well, we rejoice, we're happy, we smile. It's the process of getting there. It's the process of getting to where that God is the answer to our problems and to our needs. And that's why I want to share with you this morning from this verse as our text this morning. Jesus is saying this. He says, "Father, if it thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Father, if thou be willing. And there's sometimes we don't know whether he is willing or not. Sometimes we do not know whether he wants to lift the trial or the test or the affliction from off of our body. Jesus in the flesh has gone to this place of prayer. In the flesh is responding. You see, well, I thought that he was the deity. He was God manifest in the flesh. You might be here this morning and here you are. If you don't know of your flesh, pinch yourself and say, ouch. Yet you could have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, but yet you know flesh. That's why that you struggle. I know God is real. I know God's in my life, but I'm struggling with this test, the trial, this sickness that I'm going through. So here was the flesh. He asked the disciples to pray with him. He left some, and it took some a little further in the Garden of Gethsemane. They even fell asleep, those that went with him a little further. So often when you feel so alone and you do not know the outcome of your situation, the flesh is crying out and saying, "Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me." That's what the flesh wants. And then he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Let me speak to you this morning for a little while. I promise I won't keep you long. Give yourself away. Give yourself away. In other words, relinquish to the process of God. That's a big statement, relinquishing yourself to the process of God. What's God's process? Well, it could be some of the things that you're going through. It's a process. Jesus understood this, even in the flesh, in the garden praying. Nevertheless, and that simply meant, I'm giving myself away to you, to your will, to your purpose, to the reason of all of this. When God decided to reveal another facet of his divine divinity to Abraham and to his son Isaac. When you read in the Old Testament, he did it while tasking them through a divine process of preparation. I want to call it this morning, this word of process called relinquishment. And this is the process of releasing, yielding, reassigning, surrendering, abandoning, wavering, and giving up something completely. When it comes to living for Jesus Christ, he is the greatest example that's been ever given to mankind. God manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the world. God who opened up blind eyes, who strengthened as an example of faith that when a woman with an issue of blood had spent all of her money, nothing left, crawling on her knees through a crowd, the scripture says she was pressing her way and she reached out to touch simply the hem of the garment of Jesus. He, feeling the virtue flowing from him, asked, "Who touched me?" Disciples all around him, your friends all around you, your family around you, your spouse around you. How do I know? They responded, "We don't know. The press of people so great. I don't know who touched you." But she knew who touched her. Jesus felt the virtue flowing from him to her. It's a process that when you don't know what else to do and you seemingly are crawling on your hands and your knees, that you relinquish your pride and you relinquish your self-worth and you relinquish everything about your knowledge that you think you know, and you reach out the only hope that you have, and that is to Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness on that this morning? There is a power in relinquishment, but the process isn't much fun at times. It took Isaac up to the slope of Mount Moriah and left him tied to an altar like a lamb led to a slaughter. He wondered if he would live to see the sunset. And he probably wondered why it happened to him like you and I. The whole situation was a result of something that had taken place. Isaac didn't know in advance all the end results that was going to take place. He did not understand God's purpose. So all he could do was relinquish himself in the process. He did not say to his father Abraham, "No, I do not want to climb upon the altar. No, I don't want to be the sacrifice. Do not want to be in that situation." At the same time, we find all he did was relinquished himself to the will of his father. Moses couldn't speak to us about relinquishment. Perhaps we find and see it in him. He knew God had called him to deliver the children of Israel. He knew the purpose as he grew older, from a reed floating in the Nile to raised by his own mother in the house of Pharaoh. And as he grew older and wiser through the teaching and education of the Egyptians, he realized as he got older, the words perhaps spoken to him by his natural mother, a Hebrew, "You're not an Egyptian, you are a Hebrew." It is in this aspect he went stumbling perhaps forth and saw the opportunity to explain who he was when he found an Egyptian and a Hebrew fighting together. And so he went down to separate them And in the process of that, he killed an Egyptian. It was time to run. He no longer could stay in Egypt. He could no longer be that of a Hebrew. He felt. There's times in your life that you don't feel a part of the church. There may be times that you don't feel a part of the kingdom of God. Yet you don't fit into the world, nor the things of the world. You don't fit in that place where it seems like everybody's having such an exciting time about life. God, what's going on? I don't know if I fit in the kingdom of God. I don't know if I fit in the world. What's going on? It could be a moment and a time of learning how to relinquish. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't understand the outcome or the process, but all I know what to do is to say, Lord, here am I. Your will be done and not my will be done. Moses was about to learn that God will not use an unwilling servant. If you want something badly enough that God has for you, then there is this process. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but to someone or someone's to understand that there's something about relinquishment of your will to the will of the Father. If you want to take things in your own hands and do things your own way, God will allow you to do so. He will step back and say, okay, go ahead. The Israelites found out the hard way it wasn't God's will and purpose for what they did. How do you know that? Well, in Psalms 106, verse 13 through verse number 15, they soon forgot his words. They did not want or wait for him in counsel, but instead exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their own requests, but sent leanness into their soul. I do not want leanness in my soul. I want everything that I am and all my being is to be what God wants to be. Moses, Egyptian way, never worked for God. God's way is not the way of the world. The Bible tells us that Moses looked this way and that way before he murdered the Egyptian. That was a failure. That was not success. The first thing I have to teach you this morning, along with myself, is that you have to let God's will be done and not our own. Because we will take up and do the things that will be contrary to God's will and to God's purpose. In the process, we'll lose out. We'll fail along the way. Moses probably thought he had done a good deed. After all, you see, I slayed the Egyptian. After all, I took down the Egyptian. But it didn't save him from the situation of the Israelites complaining. Perhaps even he told himself, one down, 10 million to go. I don't know what you tell yourself about your relationship and about your actions with God. I will tell you this, that God knows your heart. God knows your mind. And God knows your thinking. Amen? Moses, the prince in Egypt, thought he was going to become perhaps something that he did not become. But instead, he became a murderer. A murderer. He probably became, in his own heart and mind, a fugitive. I have to run. I have to escape Egypt. Then he realized that perhaps he needed to do so. He headed out of Egypt. He found himself on the backside of a desert working on his BN degree. What is a BN degree? What is it? Well, I will share it with you because I found myself earning this degree. This BN degree is called Be Nothing. Ever find that degree? Do you have that hanging on your wall? I am nothing. And Moses earned that degree 40 years on the backside of a desert, once was a prince, now a sheep herder. If you understand the Egyptians, they did not care for sheep, didn't like sheep. Israelites, they like sheep. Let's put them over here. Let's separate ourselves from the smell, from the stink of the sheep herding. Moses lived in the perfume of a castle, and then he found himself in the perfume of the sheep herd. Amen. Spending 40 years of his life learning to be a prince in the house of Pharaoh, he spent the second 40 years learning to be a pauper. The first 40 years of his life, Moses learned to be a prophet, he thought, but didn't really understand that until he got on the backside of the desert. What are you saying, Pastor? There is a moment that God takes us before we ever become what he wants us to be. We have to come to a place of relinquishment. Some people would say the first 40 years, Moses learned something, and the next 40 years, he learned nothing. Actually, I want to tell you this morning, Moses learned the value of humility in the wilderness, in the school of relinquishment. That is what qualified him for the third set of 40 years, when Moses learned what God could do with a man who had learned the first two lessons very well. I want to say this morning, we don't understand all that God may do, but eventually, when we decrease ourselves and put him first and foremost in our lives, when we have a prayer life that will touch the throne of God, when we pray and expect heaven to move, when we believe God can do all things but fail, when we trust him in this and trust him in that, and understand that God is God and there's none like him, nor none after him. He alone is God, and who we go to when I decrease and he increases. What are you saying, John? John said, I must decrease that he increases. I must relinquish. I must become nothing. Learn my degree in NB. Sometimes we go through things not so much for us, but for the sake of someone else. In other words, be prepared to give someone your yesterday's today. I preached about it perhaps last week. Let me say something about it this week as well. You can't help someone unless you have been there. You can't help somebody unless you have experienced something that God has taken you through. Amen? I'm telling you that when you look on the scene today, the world is getting darker and darker, and it's shaking more and more. Amen? One thing that God left in the midst of the dark time is the church. One thing he's done in the midst of confusion, placed the church. And one place that he's put people who has gone through all kinds of relinquishment is the church. While people may run here and there and thither, it is the church that stands strong, and people with faith in the midst of the earthquake, and while the world seems to grow darker and the earth begins to shake more and more with troubles and problems, it is the church. Where do you run to? I run to the wings, under God's wings, as a place of safety and of comfort. Where do I go in the time of trouble? I run to the master of the storm, who says, peace and be still. Be quiet, you waves that are roaring. Where else do I run to except Jesus Christ? Would you do me a favor and let me know that you're alive this morning? Lift your hands and worship the Lord this morning. God is so real this morning. God's power is real this morning. Yes, amen. Hindsight is an invaluable way to learn how things fit into God's plan. Amen. What can God do? I'll tell you what God can do. It's what I found he's done in the past. He's able to do now. He's able to do in the future. David of old was also familiar with the process of relinquishment. He was the one who wrote, "Yea, though walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil." Psalms 23 and verse 4. Each one of us will experience our own valleys and feel the cold shadow of death on our shoulders at times. David, the same man who lived in a cave as an exile, an outlaw, and later ran when his own son plotted to kill him, has some words of wisdom for us this morning. The psalmist also endured decades of relinquishment while running from Saul's armies. He said this, let me share this with you this morning. If you are in the valley of the shadow, just keep on walking. What you need is an uninterrupted walk with God. Even if he takes you through the dark valley, just don't allow the valley to swallow you up. Don't linger in the valley. Don't pitch your tent under that shadow. Above all, don't throw a pity party in that valley. Why? Because it's a process of relinquishing yourself to God. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my way, but your way be done. Come on, somebody. You said this is not a shout message this morning. Well, excuse me, but I feel like I'm shouting. Why? Because it's relinquishment. You relinquish yourself to God and the purpose of God and God's will. Amen. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be least of all my servants." Mark chapter 9, verse 35. In God's economy, up and down, and the way you live as a child of God is to die. What is repentance? Repentance is dying. Dying to self, dying to the world. My wife had been studying the tabernacle of prayer. I hear her praying, power of God, the Spirit of the Lord moving through her. Oh, Shalabok. You cannot go through the tabernacle without relinquishing yourself. The first thing you come to is the brazen altar once you walk through the doors. The Bible says when you come through the doors with praise and with thanksgiving, but the first thing that you encounter is the brazen altar. What's that? It's a place of death. When they put the sacrifice upon the brazen altar, it tells us that the brazen altar was the biggest instrument or the item in the whole tabernacle. In fact, you can put everything of the instruments of the brazen altar in the holy place, holy of all, you can put everything inside of the brazen altar. Why was the brazen altar the largest thing in God's plan? Why? Because repentance is the largest thing that we could ever do with our lives. This is where it begins, in relinquishment. Repentance is relinquishing. Not my will. I relinquish my sins. I will tell you that I'm sorry. Forgive me my sin. It is where we relinquish ourselves. We die on the altar of repentance. God expects us to do some things for ourselves. But sometimes we get out of control and try to do everything ourselves. And we must replace our stubborn thoughts to the thoughts of Jesus Christ. What are you saying? I'm saying that there is times that we have to have a willingness to let go. Let go of your hate. Let go of unforgiveness. Let go, let go, let go, let go of the past. There's things that we have to relinquish in our lives. The Apostle Paul knew how to relinquish things to God because he said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though more abundantly I love you and less I am loved. 2 Corinthians 12 and 15. It didn't make a difference whether he was loved or he wasn't loved. It was relinquishing himself and his feelings and saying, I love you regardless of how you love me. And God says, I love you regardless if you love me. Church is not a place we come and say, I just feel good. I could say that church sometimes becomes a place where we relinquish or we learn to relinquish. Amen. Can I have some music, please? Wherever it's at. Relinquish. Say that word with me this morning. Relinquish. 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 Let me have the last slide, please. Same as the first one we started out with. As this wonderful couple stood before us this morning, marriage is all about relinquish. Or you men will find your eggs fried too hard around the edge. Or the biscuits could be on hockey puck. And the women, I'm not going to all the things they can do, nor am I going to all the things that the men do. Amen. Marriage is relinquishment. It's giving up yourself. It's giving up yourself. Living for Jesus Christ is about giving up your ideas, your feelings, your thoughts. You mean I can't be my own self? You can be your own self. But you see what God did with Moses, even though Moses could have a strong will and a strong purpose, God could never use him until he was to that place that he became nothing. That's the clay in the potter's hand. As long as the clay is resisting the molding and the shaping, the potter can't make the vessel he wants to make. He kneads it, he folds it over and again. God doesn't cry out as he molds you and me. He doesn't cry out, yield! Why don't you yield to me? He doesn't do that. He just sometimes keeps the pressure on in the kneading and the folding until it becomes pliable, until we become nothing. I can't handle this problem. I don't know the answer to the disease. I don't know what to say to my family or to my friends. I am nothing, God, and you're everything. make me, mold me, shape me into what you want into my life. One of the greatest examples to help us is this verse right here. If thou be willing, God, if it's your will, I don't give the trial or the test or the sickness. If you're willing, then you can remove it from me. There's not a one of us that doesn't want a miracle. Miracle of finances and health and family and job. Just make the list. But when you're in that private prayer closet, when you're all alone like Jesus is all alone, and the flesh has made its petition, inside you know, inside we know, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, there's a cross. There's some pain and there's some agony. Moses, the palace was great. Backside of the desert, not so good. But when you became nothing, God made you the leader of millions. Cross was agony. Shameful. But it was the empty tomb. And him standing out when Mary came, weeping and crying, what did you do with him? Where'd you put him? Mary, do you not recognize me? He met the disciples and then he was caught up in the cloud. Where are you going, Jesus? You just came back to us. Ah. It was in that garden that I said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It was the Father's will. There was more for me than the present. I like what he said in John. I've got to stop. He said, as the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, not many days hence from now, I will be in you. How do I receive the Spirit of God? I surrender. I surrender all. You can come in. You can fill my heart and my soul and my life. I'm not fighting you. There's always something beyond what we see that he has for your life. When you and I learn to surrender all to Jesus Christ. Can't quite see it. I don't know exactly what it is. But nevertheless, Father, your will be done, not mine. Anybody feel that way this morning? Nevertheless, but your will be done, not mine. Maybe you're here this morning and you're carrying a load or you're sort of lost between the two of the church and the world. and you're wrestling and you're fighting. Maybe you just need a moment, an opportunity. Would you just bow your heads while we were sitting this morning? Would you bow your heads this morning? Maybe you could say to Jesus, Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know what I'm facing. You know what I need in my body, my flesh, my spirit, my life. I know what I would ask for. I know what I would do. But nevertheless, you know beyond my present. You know beyond this day. You know beyond tomorrow. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. Praying that simple prayer and asking simply. I'm nothing and you're everything, God. I'm nothing and you're everything in my life.